Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm back. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. All right. And today, we have a real focus subject matter. We're going to talk about African big game hunting, a subject matter that I have really zero experience in. But I do have some really strong opinions. I have some thoughts I want to put out there. As a host of a hunting show, as an instructor at my school, I do a wild game class. And just as a big game hunter myself here in North America, the number one question, if I had to prioritize all the questions, you know, that I get from non-hunters, hunters, the thing they want to talk about most, whether it's positive or negative, is big game hunting in Africa. They want to know, first of all, do I want to do it? Oh, have you ever been to Africa yet? You know, I had a friend who went, or what about those jerks that go to Africa and kill all the beautiful animals? Do you have an opinion? So, and I've always declined or kind of beat around the bush. You know, I'm a libertarian. I don't judge things like that, right, straight up front. To me, there's very little good and bad in the world. There's kind of that gray area which I live in, you know, and certain things are very cut and dry, and other things are subjective and can be looked at as, you know, the libertarian mantra. As long as it doesn't affect me, I'm kind of okay with it, you know. Which, you know, I don't want to get off subject here because I got a lot to talk about, Jack. The everything going on in the city now, right? The protest. Do we have racist cops, all of this? I've solved the problem, by the way. We all know there's racist cops. Let's be honest. I'm friends with a lot of cops. I'm going to get beat up later. Okay. I hang out with a lot of cops. What are you talking about? Listen, just like any segment of society, they're going to have their racists. Guess what? There's a lot of racist chefs. They exist, all right? I bet you there's the same amount of racist chefs that there are racist cops in the world. Here's the bottom line. If there wasn't a law that said you can't sell a Lucy, as they call it, a single cigarette, that cop never would have had to make the arrest. There never would have been a dead man on the streets of Staten Island, and we'd all be living hunky-dory together. It's about the stupid politicians, not the cops, not the guy selling the cigarette. Stop arguing over that. Stop arguing. It was the dumb law. The cop has no choice but to do his job. His job says arrest people for selling a single cigarette. I know he did it multiple times. Oh, my God. The city was losing tax money. That's why they went after this guy. Okay? A few pennies. A few dollars. Tax money. So this cop was told, hey, you see people selling cigarettes, you got to arrest them. He said, okay, seems stupid, but I'll do it. Now the guy resists arrest. To what degree he resisted, who knows? I'm not going to argue that. I'm not defending either way. But he obviously didn't want to get arrested. You see him say, hey, don't arrest me. I'm just selling a cigarette. And now it's the cop's job to make sure that guy gets arrested and he did what he had to do. If there was never a law about selling single cigarettes, we wouldn't have this problem. The thing down south is a little, in St. Louis, a little different. But, all right, back to my subject. Why do I say that? Because that's how I feel about things. It's more about respecting the laws that work, nullifying the ones that don't. And that kind of plays into this whole controversy of African big game hunting. You know, it seems like every, I don't know, few weeks, there's a new internet scandal in Africa, you know, about African hunting. And, you know, the one that comes to mind, I was on Facebook and I have a good friend of mine who who we banter a little bit on Facebook. I don't do a lot on Facebook, but he had posted a picture of a what appeared to be a pretty high school girl and her father, I think over, I can't even remember the animal, maybe over an elephant or something like that. And he had put a couple of links to PETA and these groups, and he said, you know, and the headline was something about poaching, white people poaching in Africa. And, you know, so I normally don't get my news from Facebook, and I normally don't even comment on other people's opinions on Facebook. I don't want to get involved, but this one kind of pissed me off. And because my first thought was, oh, can this guy be any sexist? Because they're white and in Africa and they killed a big game animal, they're poachers or they're doing something illegal. First of all, you know, there was nothing illegal there. They bought their hunt. They went down there. They actually donated the remains of that animal to a local African tribe that utilized every last piece of that animal. And now, listen to the whole show. I'm not defending the whole act of African hunt. I'm just saying, don't get your news from Facebook. Research it. Form an opinion and really, really research the matter. And I'm going to give you a few thoughts that'll kind of help you start that decision-making process you have to make on this matter. The first thing, and I'm going to lecture you a little bit. All right, Americans? Fellow Americans? Stop with the Disney films. Stop it. All animals don't stand up and talk and are cute and have emotions and feelings. We got to get this out. And the rest of you liberals running around watching your BBC animal documentaries, get a little deeper than that too, please. Okay, yeah, they're all beautiful, majestic animals with no feelings, with no emotions the way humans harbor emotions. Look at the case. They were trying to get that chimpanzee constitutional rights. Shut up. Stop it. They're animals. Chimpanzees are consumed in certain countries in this world. Why don't you judge those cultures? Why don't you say, how can you eat a monkey? They deserve constitutional rights. So, you know, we got to get this Disney allure out of the argument. You know, for me, you know, I live with the reality. You live with the reality. If you've driven outside of New York City, in New York State, you have seen deer splattered all over the highway. All over the highway. Yeah, I was just driving. I was driving upstate to my hunting property. There were 10 deer. I counted them. I got to the property. I said, Joe, 10 deer dead on the side of the road. One head bashed apart by a truck. No outrage on that, though. That's fine. Let's kill all the deer by running them over all day. But you're not giving up your cars, and you're not gonna extend hunting season. You want to protect these animals. Hunters are the number one protection these animals actually have. They thrive. And this is true of Africa. Without hunters in Africa, you wouldn't have the animal populations that they have. And most of the animals in Africa are doing swell. The herds are doing, they're very strong. They're great. So, you know, we kind of judge their culture or those animals by our own standards. You know, we're used to seeing dead deer on the side of the road that are going to go to waste, that just later get thrown in a dumpster, done. No one's going to eat them. No one's going to gut them. At least the animals being hunted in Africa are being used. They're being utilized. Someone's going to eat that animal. For the most part, the African, the people of Africa get access to those animals. And I've heard from a close personal friend who I totally disagree with the hunt he did, but he went down there and those animals were starting to be consumed within about a half hour of him killing it. They had caped the head. They took the head off, and he was keeping that, getting it mounted, the whole thing. And the guys who worked at the farm where he was hunting, they had already started skinning that animal. They were piecing it out. He said he had never seen anything like it. They were so thorough. They use the testicles. They eat the testicles of this animal. I mean, nothing goes to waste. So when you look at it in that light, it might help you get over this controversy a little bit. And again, I'm not defending it. We'll talk about my personal ideas and how I feel about hunting down there, you know, and if I would ever do it in a little while. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is I will probably, unless attacked by one, never kill an African lion. I really have, you know, for me, it's about growing up in New York. I'm fascinated by the animals of New York. Like, people talk to me about elk hunting and stuff like that, and there's some a law there for me, you know, because that's an American animal for me, you know. So maybe someday, you know, that's a big hunt for me. The grizzly bear, another one, you know. But really, white-tailed deer, turkey, ducks, you know, things that I grew up with, things that I see every day here in New York State are the animals that I want to go out and hunt, the animals that excite me about hunting. The black bear, I'm very interested in hunting. You know the show's theme, don't, if you kill it, you better eat it. You know, and that's my overlying rule. But, you know, these animals that are indigenous to where I am are the animals that interest me. As far as killing a mountain lion, I could care less. An African lion, I could care less. A mountain lion, on the other hand, that's an American animal. That's something I'm interested in taking care of. You know, so again, that's just how I look at it. Do I begrudge someone for wanting to go or have this dream of killing an African lion? Not really. To me, it's, if it's done in the right way, in an ethical way, in a lawful way in Africa, I really don't have that much of a problem with it. You know, I'm not judging people based on my opinions here. You know, my thing is, I want to go to Africa someday. It's on my list. I don't necessarily, for me to ride with my family in the back of one of those Humvee four-wheelers they use would be enough for me to see these beautiful, majestic animals. I wouldn't have to kill them. It's just, it's not on my list. I'm familiar, like I said, with black bears. That is a majestic animal for me, but it's my animal. It's from New York. I know I could talk to the numbers. That we wouldn't have as many black bears here if we didn't hunt them. They wouldn't be doing as well through conservation. Listen to past shows. We don't want to get into all of that, you know. And the main thing here for me is, you know, the underlying theme or tone of what people have to say or the naysayers on African hunting, you know, it always comes across to me as a little bit sexist and, you ready? Maybe even racist in ways. When they start talking about, you know, that white girl who killed the zebra or killed the antelope in Africa. I feel like I haven't seen too many controversies with black people standing over a dead animal in Africa, right? And holding up their trophy head, and that seems like we're okay with that. So it's not really the act of killing the animals that I think most people have the problem with. It's who's killing the animals. If an African, like a New Yorker, kills a deer here, most people don't have a problem with it. It's all right. Kind of, we're New Yorkers, we're here. But the truth of the matter is, we have a lot of out-of-state. We have a lot of out-of-state people that come here and kill our animals. And it's no different. If you consider Africa a state in the United States, we come, we pay, and we kill their animals within their system. I don't care if it's a pretty white girl, you know, a middle-aged white man or some black guy. It doesn't matter to me. It's, are the animals being killed in a relatively humane way? Are they being utilized after the harvest? Are we eating them? Is someone eating them? Or are they going to waste? Or are they being kicked into a gutter? Like we do to a lot of our animals here in the United States of America. All right. That was half the show already? Wow. When we come back, we're gonna finish this up. I think I have some real good points I want to make to you about finishing up this conversation, and really outline my ideas on if or when I would ever actually do one of these hunts. So we're gonna take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you. Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods, guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Redwattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
It is so exciting to have this new medium.
Hosting After the Jump has been a huge part of me transitioning from being a blogger to somebody who has sort of real important conversations with people in real life.
My show, I kind of describe it as an audio trade magazine.
I learn a ton from the guests every week, whether it's restaurants, bars.
All the hosts at Heritage all come from different perspectives.
Everyone should be listening to this. If you're interested in conservation and practical approach to renewable food sources, you know, not this big industry.
Whether it's history, laws, social policies of food, I think people now take food seriously, and hopefully what's on their plate will become something very special.
And I feel that podcasting has a future, giving people information in a format they can really use on the go.
We need your support to keep these conversations going. To donate, visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, so let's just get back to this real quick for a second, the sexism involved here. You know, I truly believe there's more outrage when we see a female has killed an animal. Based on the American culture and the women are gentler, more quiet form of human, and it's more disturbing, I think, to people, certain people, when they see a woman standing over a dead animal. Not to me, because I have daughters, and I pray that they will be big game hunters one day. Maybe not necessarily in Africa, but at least with their old man up in New York State taking out white-tailed deer left and right. You know, the bottom line is you got to get over your sexism of that, and that's. That's just the bottom line. I mean, the truth of the matter is the females, you know, you look back, talk to any paleontologist, the females were out hunting big game animals. You know, the Neanderthal women were out there hunting big game animals with the men. There was no difference. They were females and they were good at certain things and they were great hunters. And so, you know, this idea or the image of a woman over a dead animal in Africa really stirring the internet, making the internet come alive with controversy is a little ridiculous to me. That's not even the point. Who cares if she's a woman? If you're against it, be against it when a rich white guy does it too, which also brings up a lot of anger. And that bothers me, you know. First thing I hear from everyone when they do, oh, these rich guys, they go down there and they pay for these hunts. All right, first of all, there's a lot of paying going on for hunting here in the United States of America too. So knock that off. And for me, that's not even, again, part of the equation. Who cares if they're rich? What, that's called envy. That's called being jealous. Don't make that part of your argument. It's okay if you're not rich and you do it. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, for me, I think Africa cares less than us, truthfully. They don't have a public relation wing handling this for them. They don't really care what you think. They're just doing their thing. You know, I think if they hired one of these fancy public relation firms here in New York City, it could turn this thing around in a month, and they can make it one of the most popular undertakings in the world, and they could spin all the negative news into positive news. But they don't really care, because what they feel is that they're doing the right thing for the most part. I am against caged hunts. Okay. Now, most of the hunts in Africa are caged hunts. These property owners have huge, huge parcels of land that they put huge fences up on, and they cage the animals. And the truth of the matter is that protects the animals for the most part. If they didn't have those cages, poachers, unrestricted hunters would be out there taking down way more animals than they need. You'd probably see more of a commercial trade in Africa without those fences. You'd see more elephant tusks being sold. You'd see a lot more of that without these protective fences that really do little to restrict the animals, because they live on areas, they would naturally live in areas smaller than the caged area. So the idea that, you know, it's a truly caged hunt is not always true. I've heard horror stories of hunters being given the choice to shoot an animal in an actual cage. They had a lion in a cage, and they put it out in the field, and they told the guy, all right, you got two choices. We can release the animal from the cage. It's very dangerous. This lion could turn around and charge us, and if you miss him, he'll kill us. Or more likely, he'll be afraid of us, and he'll start running, and then you could shoot him. Or the safest way is to shoot him in the cage. You know, no one condones that. No hunter that I know would ever say, that's okay. There is no point to that. That it's just not right. And there are things, I'm not going to sit here and make believe those things don't exist in the world, because they do. And we're all against that. You know, PETA and the wild game domain will come together and hold hands while we protest that kind of killing. It just shouldn't exist in the human race, really. You know, the thing about the envy and the money and the rich people going there and doing it, you know, an American hunter, yes, he pays a lot of money to go kill these animals. You know, you're paying $1,000 a night. I don't know. Anywhere between, let's say, $500 and $1,000 a night to stay in Africa. You know, they're going to feed you. They're going to put you up in a beautiful room. And then you buy your animals to kill. You pay them per animal. And, you know, people think, oh, well, that means, you know, they're putting them there, they're chaining them to a tree. No, it just means when you come across that animal, you know, you come across a leopard in the wild or where you're hunting and you want to kill it, you're going to pay a certain price. A leopard goes for about $3,000. You want to kill a leopard? Here you go, $3,000. You could kill an elephant for $15,000, all the way up to $40,000. Is this, again, make it right or wrong? I don't know. It exists here. Do you know you could go to Pennsylvania and kill African animals in a caged hunt right in Pennsylvania here? Again, for me, I hate to be a simp, but it boils down to what are you doing with that animal at the end of it? That money, okay, a lot of it goes to the conservation, just like in the United States of America. A lot of that money they're paying goes to the conservation of that animal. Second of all, where is the carcass going? Does the local tribe get it? The local tribes are given a certain amount of kills that they could use for the year. There are certain tribes in Africa, they get to kill 4 elephants a year. They sell the rights to those elephants to rich Americans who go down there and pay them $50,000, $40,000 to kill an elephant. They don't get to keep the elephant. They keep the elephant's head. They send it home. They get it, and they put it up in their big basement. Okay, my basement's not even big enough to put a spike horn up in. But they put the elephant up in their mansion. Okay, and that bothers us. I get it. But that elephant goes back to the tribe that sold the rights to killing it. They made money off of the kill, and now they get all of that meat and they get the use of that animal. To me, that makes sense. I got to tell you, you know, all these truths that exist on the internet, Facebook. So, you know, I went back at my buddy and I on Facebook and I said, oh, stop it. It's just a picture. You don't know if that was a poacher. I really doubt that pretty white girl and her father snuck into Africa and are actually just running across the African countryside poaching animals. They're actually there with an outfitter. They paid a lot of money to be there, and they're doing it completely legal. So, you know, stop with all these half-truths that exist. The animals, like I said, are fenced in, but there probably wouldn't be any animals if they weren't. That's the problem. If they didn't have these fences, we would be in big trouble. And the other point, you know, half truth, the hunters probably don't eat or only eat a fraction of the meat that they kill. That bothers me. I admit that. But that doesn't mean the meat goes to waste. You know, I told you about my friend. He swore to me that these animals are utilized way more thoroughly than we could ever do, that we ever do here with the white-tailed deer. Even I stripped the bone. It will bare white bones on the deer I kill. He said, no, are you kidding me? They use everything, you know, the internal organs. They eat every part of this animal. I mean, there's a pile of bone when they're done with it. You know, again, the money, just outlining the money again. Conserving the resources. That money goes to conserving the resource. A lot of the money. Listen, there's guys making money. The outfitters are going to make money. Welcome to the American way of life, Africa. It's okay. My producer's sitting there nodding his head right now. He's making money producing my show. Okay? He's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's probably not a millionaire producing my stupid show, okay? But he doesn't do it for free. Okay? The only one working around here is me for free, by the way. But I do it for love. I'm above that. So, you know, the idea that the guy doesn't have a right, the outfitter doesn't have a right to make money, just it just rings hollow in an argument. You know, look at the organizations here in the United States, the National Wild Turkey Federation, you know, the Friends of the Elk, you know, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. These organizations exist to prevent politicians and destructive people or destructive ideas, destructive industries from trashing our hunting and fishing grounds. You know, that's kind of how these outfitters act within the African landscape. They protect the animals in some ways. You know, the money is really not part of the problem. I'm not naive enough to think that Americans, when they travel to Africa, don't project this elitist kind of I'm better than everyone kind of aura about them. I mean, I think that's built in. I would probably do it if I went there. I mean, unknowingly to my, you know, just acting like an American. We do it in every country. And I think this gives us a bad rap, but most of those guys are there for an actual reason, to go on a good hunt, to do something outside of the norm that they normally do. And you know, there's a value there. And when there's a value or when there's a commodity, people are going to pay for that. There's no way to stop that. And truthfully, the Africans, the governments, the organizations, the outfitters, for the most part in Africa, are not the problem. They are the solution to the problem. It's the illegal operations that happen in Africa that give everyone the bad name here and make African hunting, you know, a dirty subject that we don't want to talk about. As far as me, truthfully, I cannot think of a scenario. I hate to say I will never do something. Or it will never happen. But I can't think of a scenario where I would go and actually shoot an animal in Africa. It's just not in my blood. It's not something I'm even remotely interested in. My dream hunt is a archery grizzly hunt in Africa one day. That's my dream hunt. That would be my Africa. That would be my safari. Go to Africa. Go to Alaska one day and hunt grizzly bears with my Matthews compound bow. Is that any different? I would have to pay someone. I have no connections in Alaska. I would have to pay an outfitter to give me some place to live, feed me, and then take me to where the animals are. And is that any different than what they're really doing in Africa at this point? I'm sorry to say, no. It's not. We need to fight against the illegal outfits and the people doing harm to the African hunting tradition, and support the outfitters and the hunting community in Africa that's actually making some money, helping the animals, and trying to put out a good word on African hunting. And that has been a public service announcement from your humble host here at the Wild Game Domain, Chad Pagano. I just hope that helps you think about it a little, you know, give you the other side of it a little bit. Again, doesn't affect me. I don't have that many strong feelings. If they're doing it within the law, I'm okay with it. So guess what, man? That went fast. Wow. I get rolling. I gotta breathe once in a while. Now I'm exhausted. My legs are like shaky. Like I was just in a fight. Fighting's not good. Don't fight. But that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank my man Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you for listening. See you next week. And don't forget, if you kill it, you eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.